Hello, world. Welcome back to the Unchristian Podcast. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for joining us on yet another amazing episode of our show. My name is Ndubiso Mazibuko. I am only just one half of the hosting team of the Unchristian Podcast. I have with me my co-pilot, Miss Dudu Nkosi, in the house.
Hey, you good, ma'am? I'm good, sir. How are you?
Good, great, great, great.
Yes.
I'm looking forward once again to an amazing conversation and stuff like that.
You must know it's gonna be a thick one.
If you've not subscribed as our viewers, please do subscribe, share the comment, and leave a review on Spotify and Apple Music. It helps us to grow. Thank you so much for all the subscribers and the family members of the Unchristian Network with all our show and content. We really appreciate you. My F today is another one of those. This is one of the most contentious topics.
It is. It's a very, very contentious topic. They actually had a show on, I think it was one of the Mzansi channels. And one of the guests there literally walked out. It got tense. It gets heated almost to the point that people get it stops becoming a professional conversation, opinion piece.
Wow.
And then it becomes an emotional one. Because exactly. This one is definitely an emotional one. Yeah. It's going to be do you think we're gonna lose subscribers over this topic?
Nah, we won't. Our family loves us, our community loves us. They know what we're all about. They're in it for the ride.
Yes, they know. We'd be quite controversial in our topics, and we do it for the love.
Yeah. This is all love.
Do it for the love and to educate and for people to actually frame their own opinions on the matter.
Absolutely.
You know?
So. And we're talking about women preachers. But we have to be specific also in that conversation, because it's not just about women preachers. Women pastors.
Yes, women pastors.
Church planters.
Yes.
Bishops.
Yes.
Apostles who are women.
Yes.
Hard.
Yes. It's a very hard one.
Yeah.
And there are some verses in the Bible that say Ugutsi women can't really be pastors. But yet there are a lot of women who played a big part, in the formation of the church, who were in leadership position.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Udebra, she in Judges. Yeah. She was then a military leader. She was a judge. Mm-hmm. She was a mother. She was a wife. Mm-hmm. She was a leader.
Mm-hmm.
She rose up the ranks in Israel because, God saw her fit for the role.
I get you.
But then we fast forward to the New Testament, where Paul is now giving instruction. Writes a letter to Timothy, writes a letter to the Galatians.
Yeah. And the Corinthians.
And the Corinthians, and he sticks to a particular point
when
it comes to women pastors and women preachers.
Yeah.
And guys, as you know, when it's such topics, I'm humbing it, I'm humble with my pink friend.
I've been told to keep up, and I've got a big Bible in my office. You guys are going to see them anointed with that Bible. But anyway, it's fine. I'll use my laptop.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned the issue of emotions, because I realized that this debate, it dies in a number of areas. Number one area it dies in is emotions.
Yes.
If we talk about this and the only thing we say is, I feel,
then
we definitely, the conversation is going to die.
Right.
It will get heated.
It becomes subjective. It doesn't become objective.
So it's not, the other one is culture,
uh-huh,
where we say, because of there are women in the UN, there are women in government, there are women in business, there are women this, therefore it means that we can use that same standard to apply it directly to the church. But I think that also is a bit unsafe.
It's a bit unsafe. And especially also with the rise of feminism. Feminism and girl power and all of that. But with every institution, there are rules and regulations that you need to abide by. And in the church institution, these are the rules and the regulations, that we need to subscribe by. And unfortunately as well, because in the history of our country, there had been a lot of women-led household where ugogo or umama is the one that takes the children to church. The one that instills the foundation of religion into the church. And there are strong people in the church. And also what I've really appreciated on this particular show as well, pastors that you have personally interviewed on Intimate Moments.
Sure.
catch it on Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They always say my wife was a pillar. My wife, this wouldn't have happened if it weren't for my wife.
Of course, of course.
So women are very important in ministry. They play amazing roles in ministry, like Sunday school when kids still need nurturing. You'll see a lot of the teachers there are
women.
You know, women. And we play a very important role. Women play a very
absolutely.
Important role.
Yeah.
You know?
And so our people must understand the conversation is not about the value of women in the church or not.
No, it's definitely not. It's not
that
about
is not
the
of
value.
Question.
That is definitely
because
not
I've not seen
question.
A growing church that doesn't have a strong group of women.
Yes, yes.
Women put momentum in almost anything you guys are a part of.
Exactly. And
the entertainment industry
it.
Standing on you guys.
Right, exactly. And women drive everything. It's like, you know... you have your in any company, right? You have your executive team, the people who are strategic, and then you have your operations team, the people that go out into the ground and make sure that the work is actually happening. And I feel Uguti, as women, we're in ops. You know, we see a bonny vision, but we see his vision, but we need to make it a reality. But then, does that mean Uguti, we can't now be on the pool?
Yeah, someone takes that exactly what you've just said. But the women can be in operational positions.
Yes.
And even that, I don't think that is the subject of the discussion today. Can a woman not be in a leadership position in some capacity in the church?
No, they can be.
You know, and the people who say women can't preach also don't deny that.
Yes.
They say, no, women can.
Can preach.
Lead.
You have the ability to.
You can preach,
to.
You can sing, you can take care of the children.
Yes.
But it's siyakuvuma lokho. Kodwa esingakuvumi, what we're saying no to is a woman pastoring, being the senior pastor, the senior elder, the head of a church.
Of a church. Can,
that
can,
is what.
Can I consult my pinky over here?
Hey
no, let's consult pinky and here.
For those who don't know, pinky's her Bible.
You know, my pink Bible to match my pink glasses. So Corinthians, right? Corinthians 14.
Yeah. Is it first?
First Corinthians, sorry. Yes, 1 Corinthians 13, 14. What am I saying? 1 Corinthians 13, 14. You need
you
to
can
edit
say
that.
That out. You can say this. Chapter 13, verse 14.
Yep. No, it's actually verse 34.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
I need you to edit that. Okay. So 1 Corinthians 13, 34.
Okay.
It says, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak. They are to be submissive, as the law also says. Mm. If they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. And the thing is, it ends there. But then he also asks a question. And the question says, or did the word of God come originally from you? Or was it you only that it reached?
Paul was spicy sometimes.
Paul was very spicy because he's like, I'm saying what I'm saying. But where did the word come from? Yeah. Where did this now? Did it come from you or did the word come to you?
Yeah.
Because we can read this in so many instances saying, no, he was writing specifically to the women of Corinth, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you read the previous chapters before, they then started using church as a look at my wealth, competition and contest.
Also, they used it to settle scores.
Yes.
Those services, they were used to
settle scores.
Even against their own husbands.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. So the issue of patriarchy is it's been happening for a millennia, right? And so women have needed to be in space where they're like, no, this is not fair. This is not how we should be treated.
Right.
And then obviously then they started using the church to then preach particular messages.
Mm.
But the Bible stands firm.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible stands firm that a woman cannot preach to a man. Mm. But it's not stopping you as a woman to preach within a conference or mama to preach to the youth, to preach. But it's preaching to men. That then becomes an issue. The Bible doesn't stop you from being in, you know, the exco of the church.
Yeah.
It doesn't. But it specifically says about teaching you know, and that should you need knowledge, then go to your husband.
Yeah.
You know, it's also very specific as to when now pastors and prophets were then ordained into a church as to who it should be. It says a man with a wife and children who lives in a particular way, you know. But it also doesn't nullify the women that were prophets.
Yeah.
Priscilla, you know, was one of Paul's closest. Priscilla Junior.
Yeah.
And there's actually an argument about Junior, even though there's one line on Junior in the book of Romans. Some say Junior was a man, you know. And if you look at the history of the Greek name, and apparently it was a name that freed slaves would use.
A common name.
That freed slaves would use. So some people argue that Junior was a man, and they put an S at the end, Kubo Junias, or something like that. So if you look at the other translations in the Bible, there's a bit of a contention when it comes to Junior, but it does say, you know, that Junior was you know, a person who Paul was close to, who helped to preach the gospel.
Right,
so
right.
It doesn't nullify that they were women who spread the gospel and who pushed it forward. But it stands, you know, there's two verses. And even in 1 Timothy.
Yeah, 1 Timothy is another one.
Yeah.
You see, my approach to the scripture in terms of interpreting it as well. And by the way, for me on this topic, I've got more questions.
Yes.
Than an actual answer. You know, I really have more questions. There are things that I want to ask us that will open our thinking. Because we should not just interpret the actual writing of the scripture, the letter of the law, as they say it, but also they say there's a spirit of the letter.
Yes.
The spirit of the text.
Yes. That's what another point I wanted to come to.
Uguti, kahle kahle. What is Paul teaching here? By citing that example and touching on that, what is he teaching the congregation? What principle is he teaching them? When I look at what he's addressing with the Corinthian women, knowing that there were problems in Corinth, I want to almost say I believe the interpretation that says it was given to the Corinthian women, that instruction, because they were a problematic group in the church. We have evidence that shows us those women were problematic.
Yes.
So Paul needed to address them in that. So I will almost say I believe them. But if I consider the spirit of the letter, that what Paul is writing to these people, I have to ask myself, what is he teaching? What is he actually saying?
Yeah.
And he's teaching, number one, order.
Yes.
In the church.
Uh-huh.
Order in the home as well.
Yes.
When I hear him saying that a woman must learn to be submissive to her husband, listen to her husband, he's saying, don't argue with your husband in front of people in church.
In public,
don't bring your house issues.
At home.
Cover them in prayer and testimony and preaching.
Yes.
And do shayindot.
You understand?
Talk about it in church. Exactly. I mean, at home. And at home, he is your head.
Yes, and now a husband. How are you to teach your wife if you're beating, if you're abusive?
Yeah, sure.
If you are, you know, it also makes you as a man take accountability for your actions.
Yeah.
As, yes, I'm the man, I'm the household, I've been put as the head.
Yeah.
But what am I teaching?
And that is in reference to in Timothy, right?
Yes.
Where he says a man must be a husband of one wife. He must be able to take care of his home.
Yes.
How can you take care of God's house if you can't
take care of home?
Is that the scripture that you want to read?
No, that's not the scripture I was referring to. The one in Timothy is 1 Timothy 2, verse 11.
Yeah.
It says, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman. You see, that's the word permit.
See, yeah.
You see, that's the word where it says permit. I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but be silent. And then it goes on to verse 14. And that's where I feel this now oppresses women, right? Because verse 14 says, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Right? Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, holiness, with self-control. So we actually had a bit of an argument, especially with the last two verses that I had read. as so I must learn in silence, and because I'm carrying Eve's sin by virtue of me being a woman,
yeah,
right, will I then be saved in childbearing? What if life doesn't allow me to bear children? Will I then not be saved?
I've got a problem with that interpretation, you know, because on the surface it seems like the answer should be yes. Uguti, you were now you're a sinner, you're carrying Eve's sin.
Mm.
But we're forgetting one thing, that we dropped all our sins at the door of the New Testament.
At the door
of the cross.
At the,
you can't be carrying Eve's sin. I'm not carrying Adam's sin.
So then why?
It was dealt with at the cross.
Of course it was definitely dealt with at the cross. My question then is, why is it still then referenced here?
I get you.
And, why and, is it then referenced? If it was dropped, why does then Eve's sin
come up again?
As if she
made the whole thing flop.
Right?
It was all her flop. It was all her fault. It wasn't actually.
Right?
You know, there are Bible scholars who actually tell us that Adam was standing right there.
Next to
with
her.
Eve, and he didn't say anything.
You see.
He didn't take authority. He didn't take responsibility for his household.
The situation that was happening.
Yeah, he let the snake and the wife have a conversation. There's a school of thought that says that. That's challenging this directly.
Right.
Yeah. So if someone is going to use Eve's example to discredit women spiritually, that's a problem. They're not reading their Bible because Jesus dealt with all of that. When God looks at us today, he's not gauging us based on what Adam and Eve did.
Of course.
He's looking at us based on what Christ
did. What Christ did for
us. So you can't use that to discredit women.
Uh-huh.
And if you and I are going to the same scripture and reaching two different conclusions, then we need to focus, both of us need to surrender our positions and focus on that area of contention.
I do agree with
you. I'm challenging us to all go back and do more study,
Do more studies, because the book of Titus, second book of Titus, it is very specific as to what kind of man can then be, you know, elected into the church as an elder and as a pastor. You know, it's very specific.
Let's go to that, yeah.
Yes, Titus 2, verse 2, it says that the older man be sober, reverent, tempered, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older woman likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slander, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, right? That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God may not be blasphemed, right? Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. So the book of Titus then says what kind of people need to lead the church. And this scripture I love because it doesn't show anyone to be superior to anyone morally.
Yeah.
Right? We all need to have patience. We all need to be sober-minded. We all need to... And that then, this is now my personal feeling. It is easier for a woman to submit to a man and learn from a man who is what is described here.
A man
who teaches
thing.
With love, you know, who teaches with patience. You know, going back to my previous point is that because women were so oppressed, women had been oppressed, you know, for centuries. And I feel that us standing up in particular positions were they had been reserved for men was because of the oppression that we were feeling. So if the men of the time had been men that are described in Titus, I do not think that we would have had these issues. Because my first point as well, that because we come from so many women-led families and households, we have had to become, as women, have had to become our own husbands.
Yes.
We've had to become our own
Which
teachers.
Doesn't make it right.
It does not make
and
it right
And it doesn't
right
make it less the new standard.
It shouldn't. It's unfortunately become the new standard, but it shouldn't be.
But when we are teaching our younger people or whatever, our children, on God's model for a family,
yes,
we can't take, we can't even use the kind of family we are.
We are in right now.
And say, no, we have to go to scripture.
Yes.
And say, okay, where scripture says we are doing good as a family.
Yes. That we
follow
must.
Follow us. Is that, yes. If scripture points out something that is not right about us as a family, then we have to submit
to
that.
We have to fix
so,
it.
Yeah, so I don't want us to say, because we have so many cases of women-headed homes.
Yes,
therefore, it's God's new standard for the family.
No.
That's a conversation for another day.
That's a different conversation.
But, and it's not what God is saying.
It's not what God is saying, but we take the standards now, the socialist norms right now, and we then put it to the church. Because let's just say in a particular community, majority of the men drink. Majority of them, because that's what it was. Majority of the men were either drunk or they were either working on farms somewhere, working on mines somewhere. Yeah. And so most of the people in the community would then be women.
Yeah.
Now, what does that happen in particular situations where men are not interested in church?
Yeah, women must stand up then. Right? It's just like they're standing up in the homes. You know, I mean, I grew up in a church that didn't want women preachers.
I am currently in a church where there are no women preachers.
Really? Your current church right
my
now?
Current
I didn't
church
know.
Right now. My current church...
Do they actually actively preach against it? Or no. We are born in Jogutaya?
No, it's not actively preaching against it. They tell you first from the beginning. Yeah. You know, I actually ask, what's up? Why are there no women preachers? And they say, the Bible says.
The Bible says. Interesting.
The Bible
well,
says.
Well, I was in a church where these two scriptures were read every Sunday. Timothy, Corinthians, I'm not kidding you. Every single Sunday, Timothy and Corinthians was read.
Wow.
Yeah. So there was no way to escape.
There was no so
it was clear and I would like higher.
Even though my current church does not have women preachers and it's a Bible teaching church, so they stick to the doctrine, right? That is in the Bible. And as much as we are a reformed church from the Anglican church, the Anglican church actually has women pastors and preachers.
The traditional old Anglican church?
Yes, they do. They do have. So the thing is, why there was a breakaway was the Anglican church started allowing
certain things. Certain liberal positions.
Yes, very liberal to now be hip and in with the modern LGBTQI agendas, with the modern feminism agendas. So the church started allowing that. Okay. And then that's why my particular church then...
Okay. It was not just your church, so it was
a whole
movement.
No, it's a whole movement. South Africa.
I see.
So if you look at the history, it then is a breakaway. And it's a reformed Anglican church.
Do you know which year that happened?
It
was around which period?
If you look at Reach South Africa, it was in the 1800s.
Oh wow! Okay, I'm thinking Zotimanje.
No. It's not a new. It's not a new thing. Yes. So it was a breakaway. I'm not really sure about the date. So it was a breakaway.
Should I be knowing this as a pastor? Probably. Because I'm sorry. Some of these things mean.
Right?
Church history.
No, but it's okay. It's okay.
Because I'm learning.
So then they decided that we are going to be a Bible teaching church. Mm. Praise the Lord for the rain.
Amen. I'm praying in tongues right now.
And it then decided, because we're going to stick to the doctrine.
Right.
We're going to stick to the Bible.
Which is women are not
going to preach. Okay. Which is we are not going to bless LGBTQI marriages.
Yeah.
We are not doing this transgender thing.
Yeah.
Having a female pastor identify as a... Because, you know, exactly. So the church sticks to that.
Yeah. That happens in every Reformation movement, by the way.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's always a group that's going to say,
yes,
we believe the scriptures don't say this. This is not what salvation... And then start allowing certain things. Or just turning doctrinally.
Uh-huh.
There'll always be a group that says, not us.
No, not us.
We will remain. You all go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when I first joined the church, I was like, why? And then they explained to me, sat me down, this is what scripture says.
Mm.
We might not agree with it in this day and age. But then going back to the fact that you are now, you yourself, are coming into a particular institution.
Mm-hmm.
And the particular institution runs on certain values, rules, and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
So as a person, it's up to you then. To, do I stay in this institution?
Yeah.
Do I learn? Do I accept what it is? Mm-hmm. Or do I then branch out and do my own thing? You know.
There's a scripture, I think you read it. You showed it to me before the show. Galatians 3.
Mm-hmm.
That says there's no difference between male and female. Can we go into that? Because
That one, I also believe in it. And it also, it's Galatians 3, verse 28.
Yeah.
Right. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek.
Mm.
There is neither slave nor free.
So right there, Jew nor Greek cancels classism.
It cancels classism. Okay. It cancels racism.
Yeah.
It cancels
tribalism.
Tribalism. It cancels whatever social construct differences that we as humans have had then instilled in our society.
Let me correct myself. Jew nor Greek cancels tribalism and racism.
Yeah.
Bond and free cancels classism
and caste system. So whatever, as I said, whatever social constructs
that you put yourself
have used as human beings to separate ourselves and other people.
It levels out.
You know, that it levels out. There is neither male nor female. You are all one.
There's gender.
In Christ.
There's gender right there.
Right?
That is
gender. Yeah. That then cancels. For me, this verse is about your value in Christ.
Okay.
Right? Just because you're a man, you're a pastor, it does not mean you are worth more to Christ.
Or more deserving.
Or more deserving. Or you are more anything, really, than what I am.
Mm.
Because without a man and a woman coming together to form a family in Christ, nothing is going to work.
Nothing
is going to work. Because you can't say, I don't need a woman because I can cook for myself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all the things that are seen as woman duties. You can't say you don't need a woman.
Yeah.
There is a particular nurturing that a woman brings to the family.
Mm.
You can build this home physically by yourself and it be the walls and the roof. But have a woman in it. It's more welcoming. It's more homely. You look forward to coming home at the end of a hard day because there is a woman in the house who is bringing in this warmth that you as a man could never do.
Mm.
Do you understand? There's a level of safety that I as a woman feel because I have my man.
Mm.
And it's not just physical safety, but it's emotional safety that I feel. It's a level of not being anxious as to what's going to happen to my children because you know that there's a leader in the home who has a vision for the family.
There's another brain in here,
right? Who has a vision for the family and wants to move us forward.
Mm.
So you and I aren't more valuable than the other because without a you and I, there can never be a next generation,
exactly.
Right? We can never push anything forward.
Mm.
You know, most successful men that I have met in corporate have a very strong wife, right? Whether she is a corporate woman herself or a stay-at-home mom.
Mm.
But there is somebody that relieves him from the stresses of having to think about work and home.
Sure.
And he thrives in corporate.
Yeah, yeah.
Even with a married woman in corporate, there are stresses that having a husband, a partner, to help with the family relieves her of it, right? So neither you or I are more important in Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
But the word still remains that preachers have to be of a particular caliber, right?
That is what's being taught.
That's
the spirit of the late. If you want to be a preacher or a spiritual leader in the church or outside the church, your character has to be at a certain level.
Yes.
Your morals, your values, your lifestyle.
Exactly.
How you carry yourself will be at a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think when the writer was saying he must be a husband of one wife. Now, we can't say anything about women there.
Yes.
And just because the Bible didn't specifically say she must be a wife of one husband. No, you can't bring that in.
Mm-hmm.
But what is really being taught is the moral standing, the caliber, the virtue of what a preacher should be.
Yes.
Which then, that scripture then also deals with feminism.
Feminism, of course.
Because all that you've said, right, in the past minute or so, you were talking about the roles of the two.
Yes, of the two, working symbiotically
together. And we have to embrace that first of all, we are different as men and women.
Of course.
There's a reason
why
there's a men's league and a women's league.
Yes.
Okay, that can be for physical reasons.
Yeah.
But also there's a reason why our roles, there's a reason why women are more nurturing.
Yes.
By nature. Than men. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why men are physically stronger than men. I was listening to a podcast talking about this topic, and there was a female preacher on the panel who said, you know, when I started to preach, they gave me 3 services to preach on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
2 morning services, 1 evening service. And she said, the way that I'd be so exhausted and depleted after that, it took me 3 days
to recover
after every Sunday I left to do that. She said she started asking herself, were our bodies as women even made to carry this?
Ooh, I love that woman.
Because now she's, it's not just about the preaching. She extended it to about all the pastoral duties, all the things that take to run a church, the counseling that needs to be done.
Uh-huh.
The business admin side of things, visitations, and everything else that is just in the realm of pastoring.
Right?
It's like, my body couldn't take it. So I had to ask myself as a female preacher, was my body even made
to do this? And the thing is, we do not doubt your gift.
Yes, absolutely.
Your gift is what it is. But is your body, it's like corporate, you know.
Exactly.
I have a lot of my friends, even I myself, have always said, "Uguti, me going to work and being a corporate hand is not what Jesus died on the cross for." Yeah. Do you understand?
I feel right now all y'all are realizing that feminism was a trap.
It was a scam. No, it's a scam. Feminism is the biggest scam. Yes,
we're not the same. As fine.
And I would resign right now if my husband was like, okay, it's time to sign. You know what? It's going to be rough for a couple of months, but I think you should stay home. Lalela.
You'd be bored.
Listen, I will stay home. I will send my resignation via WhatsApp.
What do you think, Tandela? What would you say? Would you be a home wife? Like a housewife?
Would?
Interesting.
Yes. Right? Being a cool man is exhausting.
I didn't expect an early 20s girl to say that. Yeah.
So that's the thing, though. And I'm not saying to all women.
Yeah.
Feminism has made it to be Uguti. We as women should aspire to be men
.
Or do what men can do and do it better.
Like it's a competition.
It's like a competition, but I do not want to compete with a man. I always say, Uguti minangi princess. Treat me like a princess.
But now, when you all get into lion and roaring mode in corporate and you're outgoing, and for me personally, I like a woman that works. A woman who's driven, who's pursuing a passion.
That is...
For me, it's not just nice and good, it's sexy.
I love what you said, Uguti, pursuing a passion.
Yeah.
There's a difference between pursuing a career.
It doesn't have to be 9 to 5.
It doesn't have to be, but pursuing a passion.
A purpose, be driven.
It could be anything. You could be driven in... Let's say your passion was having an NGO that takes care of women.
Yeah.
Right? You are still working. Yeah. You are still passionate about something. Yeah. And you're pursuing your passion. You're going out there. You're knocking on doors. You are making it work. And I'm not saying, Uguti, that's all what... That's what we're worth, pursuing NGOs. But I'm just saying, if that was your passion project...
Go for it.
Right? Go for it. But because of how capitalism and society have framed things, having a single income household is not really, it's quite difficult.
We created that problem for ourselves.
Right, we've created the problem ourselves. But then now it goes back to women pastors, as you had said. Uguti, she was tired at the end of it.
Oh, no, she was like, Yazin.
Because she has to think, I'm a wife.
Yeah.
I'm a mother. I need to take care of home. I need to do this.
Mm.
But had it been the man in that particular position, there were certain things that he wouldn't worry about.
Mm.
Because he would know, Uguti, whatever I need to wear, my wife has that sorted, either via auntie or having
whatever,
it done
herself. Yeah.
When he comes home, he knows he's got a meal. He knows his kids are.
Yeah.
So those are things that he doesn't need to worry about.
Sure.
Right? And also, as much as women, we don't want to acknowledge this or we aren't taught this enough. Our bodies work on a particular cycle, right? And at a certain particular point in the month, your estrogen levels are high.
You're something else.
They are low. Your emotions are this. Your emotions are that. You know? And sometimes you can't be consistent with men literally, even at the gym, men can consistently go at it.
You've got physical stamina.
Right, you've got the physical stamina. But for us, unfortunately, there are times where we need to step away. But because the current roles that we are in don't allow us to step away, then you snap at people, you are this. And I'm not saying that women cannot be in positions of leadership because we are emotional.
Sure.
That's not what I'm saying.
Of course, yeah.
I'm just saying that you need to allow your body to go through.
To be what it is.
What it needs
allow
to go
it.
Through.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let it be. Stop fighting yourself because you're in competition with a man.
Yeah.
That you want your church to be as big as a man's church or whatever the situation is.
Here's the other one. Someone, I heard them saying, they believe and know that a message from a man and a message from a woman, like a sermon.
Yeah.
Sermon from a man or a sermon from a woman.
It hits different.
Don't land the same way.
It hits different.
And he particularly made the example of a young man, for instance, who's in the church, could be below 20 or so. He said that young boy probably would not hear the woman as much as he would hear the man, as well as he would hear the man.
I would like to
agree
with that.
It just comes differently. There's a level of authority that
it
comes out.
Yes.
But and believe me, I've sat under the preaching ministry of authoritative women. Hey, a woman preaches, and you're like, the first person I'm thinking of is Prophet Spokenest Toy, who was here at our podcast at some point. Authoritative, and many others. So when you talk about a woman preacher, it's not always softly
the
spoken
fancy,
and
dainty.
You know, joke here, joke there. There are women who can roar
bring it
on the pulpit,
right? And that's always.
But now,
in
makeup about year two, the sermon, will it land the same? Is that a fair thing to say?
Unfortunately, it is a fair thing to say because it's also how we are wired as human beings, where if a woman is authoritative, then she's harsh and there's negative connotations.
But it's a double standard, isn't it?
It is, it is a
why,
double standard.
Why is it wrong for her and right for me as a man, you know?
It's not wrong for her and right for you as a man. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, some things are just what they are. You know, some things, it's like with children.
Right.
Right? Mom says, don't do it. Mm. The kid goes on, does whatever. Dad says, don't do it.
Yeah.
It lands
differently.
It's the same message, but the landing is different. Mm. Who it comes from is different. It doesn't mean you as a man can't get advice from your wife. That is something I've learned with my own parents.
Okay.
My father never makes a business decision without consulting my mother.
As it should be.
Right? He never makes even any decision without consulting my mother, because he values her opinion. So you as a pastor who has a very strong wife at home, you consult. Do you understand? She is there to be your helper.
Sure.
She is there to help you grow the ministry and spread the word.
So the question is, should she be on the leading chair?
She should be on the leading chair.
Can she be on the leading chair? That's the question. At home?
Amongst other women?
So 20 in church?
Amongst other women in church.
Okay. Going back to the scripture we started this off with, Galatians, there's no difference between male or female. Here's what I take from that, is that in the things of the spirit. You can't include gender because spirit has no gender.
Exactly.
The argument about is God a male or female is it's redundant.
It is.
You're talking about something that is not subject to the laws of nature, gravity, time, gender,
you can't,
skin color. Maktua, we're in the image of God.
Yes.
It gets you confused because you're thinking black or white.
Right?
But it's something more. The real us, the spirit us, is not male or female as well. Male, female is what we are on the outside. Is how we express and manifest on the earth and show up. But in the things of the spirit, there is no betterness between a male and a female. We have to get that right. We're not even gonna entertain that.
But
the Bible,
but
now
in
King, I would manage
when
it comes to senior pastor.
But that's
Apostle
the reason why God created man and women.
Yeah.
I know I'm not sounding right to the ladies. Guys, I know.
I hear you.
Feminism, woman,
It's tough.
You arguing the feminist point, and I am just...
I think the roles are...
The roles are very much reversed. Because the thing is, Adam was made first.
Yeah.
Right. Adam was made first.
What significance does it have? Right.
It's he was made first.
Yeah.
And God saw that he was taking care of the garden, all good and well. Everything was fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he realized that this man is lonely. Mm-hmm. Right. And mm-hmm. he needs a helper.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. And then he created a helper. Yeah. Guys, I still stand on my point that a church that is led by a man who has a strong and capable wife thrives.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So God saw that he needed a helper.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. He needed that companion.
Right.
That the animals could not provide.
Sure.
That God himself could not provide on a particular basis. I want to say emotional basis. Mm. That he saw fit that he create a woman, right? And he didn't create a woman that looked like Adam, right? He created a woman who was physically different, right? For a particular purpose.
Of course, yeah.
And he created this woman out from his rib, right? Not the same way. Adam was created from the soil.
Yeah.
And God breathed life into him.
That's right.
Right? With Eve, it was a similar but different process.
Okay.
Right? Which means we are similar but different.
But different.
And we need we are to made embrace different. Our differences.
I see.
Right? We need to embrace our differences. Yeah. We need to, you know, in whatever language, there is a word for a strong-willed woman.
Mm.
Do you understand? Mm. Even in our own cultures. Mm. Right? It's either you are referred to as umafungwase, as the princess of the family, or umkabai, which, you know, andumdala, the firstborn daughter.
Yeah.
You've got your own role that you have to, you know, play within the family structure, within the family unit.
Mm.
But as you, as princess, as you are, as umkabai, as you are, there is a particular counsel that you have to seek.
Mm.
And it's either your father's counsel, your uncle's counsel. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And it unfortunately, and there's certain things that don't, I'm going to take this conversation to a different direction. But all I am saying is in Christ, we are worth the same.
We are.
But unfortunately in our functions,
within
the body of Christ, we are not the same.
Hmm.
My eye cannot want to be my mouth, and my nose cannot want to be my ear. There's a reason why God created these things differently to do different functions, but for one thing.
Yeah.
That is just what, that's where I stand.
You know, for me, it's a problem to receive a form of religion or belief system that allows God to somehow see a difference when he looks at us as men and women. Because I'm like, he relates with our spirit.
Yes.
And spiritual giftings don't choose the container.
Yes.
I'm thinking of a scenario where, you know, you described a man who's supported by a strong woman.
Yes.
I'm thinking of a scenario where a woman is not married, whether she's a single mom or not, not married, but she's a capable leader, she's a powerful preacher, she's anointed by God. I think that woman can lead a church.
And that was Deborah, right?
Yeah.
That was Deborah.
Yeah.
That was Phoebe.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
They were arguing against the Deborah case.
Yes.
Because there's an argument when I read that says Deborah was a judge. Deborah was not a priest. Deborah was not in charge of the church. She was a judge.
A judge.
In a nation. She was in politics. Special judge. So that's the argument.
That's another argument. But for me, but God saw her fit, right, to lead. And I'm not contradicting myself. I am not contradicting myself. God saw her fit to lead, right? But it's unfortunate to go to, we don't know what her personal life was like. Because she was married, right? She did have children.
Mm.
You know, as much as she sat under that tree and was a judge, and she led military structures.
She did, yeah, she did.
Right? So technically, you are right. And I do agree with that scripture that she was not a pastor or a priest, but she led military structures, which is almost like our society today. Yeah. Women lead.
Yeah. And it's not to say there weren't any Old Testament prophets.
Yes.
Miriam was one.
Was one.
Moses' sister, she was a prophet. And there are others, a lot. So we're not using the Deborah situation to bash. We're just saying on that point,
on that Deborah, point by
a dispute. And a,
yes, so yeah. She also was, so for me, I'm not saying as well that women shouldn't, me personally,
yeah.
I'm not saying that women shouldn't
sure.
be pastors, right? But all I'm saying is,
as fine. Yeah, no, ungibamba makufika lapho because Paul is very explicit. We are talking about the nuances and what did he mean.
And in Romans, but he does mention
it
women
is hard hitting because Paul is just like,
listen, this is what I'm saying.
I'm not mincing my words. I will not permit. You're like, yeah.
And Paul didn't dream these things up, right?
They were God inspired.
They were God inspired. He crazy. Didn't just wake up one morning and be like,
yeah.
I'm just going to start giving women a hard time.
Yeah, yeah. You also, know? Culturally.
Yeah.
The other thing that I learned is that culturally during the time, we didn't see examples of women pastoring and leading churches and so, because culturally women were oppressed. They were not educated.
Yes, they were. Yes.
They were not educated. They didn't go to the universities. They were
true.
Not philosophers.
That
they,
is factual.
They were not positioned
to be
in positions where their leadership could be developed and displayed. So because we don't see accounts of women who are actually senior pastors, quote unquote, in scripture. Don't make that say with ibhayibhelithi abekho ebhayibhelini. So that means ukuthi, no,
it's not done.
Yeah. We've quoted some women already and examples of women.
And the thing is, but Paul does mention Phoebe, right? As
the first female
prophet.
Yes, mentions right? a lot.
He mentions
a lot of women.
He mentions Phoebe. So I'm not saying that. No, I am saying it. I don't want to contradict myself.
Yeah.
I personally, and I'm not saying, like, I'm not fighting against anyone.
Of course,
ladies,
yeah.
I'm not fighting against anyone. Mm. But all I am saying is that we women were made to be helpers.
Right.
Right? Mm. And you don't know in what kind of council Phoebe sat in. Maybe she was a prophet, but a supporting cast within there. You know, and a production never works without the supporting cast.
Course,
yes, there is
course.
The main actor,
yeah,
but
yeah.
there is a supporting cast, and
sure.
they also make the show.
Yeah,
there are
course.
People that you don't see creating a show, and they make the show.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that their value is less, but I am just saying, would.
Ibhayibheli.
Lithi.
No, more pet pinky. I could just but personally, I don't mind receiving ministry from a woman. I don't mind being led.
I don't mind
being led by a woman as well, even in ministry. And my understanding of God's principle is that He doesn't put a distinction between us as male and female.
Yeah.
And so I shouldn't put those restrictions as well. That's how I approach it.
In the
spirit of what Paul was writing,
mm-hmm.
in the spirit of it. What he's really teaching, there are other surrounding principles that come out from his words that he's saying, and not just the gender issues.
I'm actually, as you're talking now, I am trying to think, have I ever been to a church that was woman-led? And I don't think
it's not coming
so.
To your mind.
It's not.
Well, they're not that common in Africa. Though a lot of them are rising up right now.
Yes,
but you
of
see
course.
It more in the West. Yes.
Yes.
The West.
But
see
I
more.
Don't. But I do listen to women pastors. Yes, now and again, and but I don't think I've actually. Maybe that's why I have this opinion and this feel that I have. Maybe it's because I when I see a strong man doing his thing,
you connect.
I connect, and it does not threaten my femininity. It
okay.
actually lets my femininity blossom.
You see,
because he's being the strong person in this whole thing. And I don't have to be strong for anything or anyone.
Yeah.
He's doing what he needs to do. Right. So for me, I think that's the stand and the position that I come from.
Great, got you.
Is that I have never personally been in a church led by a woman. I've attended conferences where I've heard powerful women speak.
Preachers, yeah.
And I take it in, right? Because of the setting that we are in. It's just us as women. And and the message is directed to us as women. And that I take.
Yeah, cool.
But on a regular Sunday, I personally cannot think of a day where a woman
stood in front of you and you were preaching.
Stood in front of me and was the preacher.
And so for me, it's another thing I have a problem with. Mm-hmm. If I can listen to you on a Friday night at a conference, why can't I listen to you on a Sunday?
Because
we've just put so much weight on this day. It's Sunday. It's special.
At a conference, it's the message. The thing is, messaging to women in particular.
Well, let's say it's a general conference, for instance. Like a general conference.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm listening to it's a joint conference, there's a female preacher who's on the poster for tonight.
Yes.
But to a Sunday, Angashomele, Oyindot.
Oyindot.
But then I listened to this I was blessed.
No, but then that doesn't work.
But now, just because of the day.
No, that doesn't work. No, that doesn't work. Yeah. If it's a general conference and she's preaching to a mixed audience, then why can't she do it on Sunday?
On this side,
for me, so that doesn't work. No, that's hypocritical.
Yeah, I think
just
so
because
too.
It's a Friday. Mm. No, that's or a Saturday. That's hypocritical. No, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Because then it seems like you're using this woman as a crowd puller, or you recognize her, but then you don't want her to.
Your insecurities don't allow you to submit to her ministry on the Lord's Day.
Exactly. So if you're allowing her on allowing her on Friday, then allow her on Sunday.
Does she have the anointing or not?
Yes.
Does she have a word or not?
Yeah. But, you know, and that's the important thing. And there are women who are spirit-led, who are strong, who are. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be in the pulpit. It's not me that's not saying that they shouldn't be in the pulpit.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I still think because of this rise of feminism, and now there's a whole lot of toxic feminism, you know? And I just feel, Uguti, can we just go back to basics?
Yeah, let's go back to the Bible.
Just go back to the Bible. If you want to be a husband that is going to husband husband your family fully. You can't be a husband who lives a single guy's life and you think that your woman is going to submit to you. You are literally forcing her to be your wife and still be the head of the family. You know, but if she has a wife, if she's a wife who has and this whole alpha male, beta male, is also nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, if you as a wife have a man who meets your needs and then your femininity then flowers it blossoms, and it doesn't matter in what form it does.
Yeah.
As long as is in submission, he can be a calm tempered man and you can be the strong, boisterous woman. But if that is a symbiotic relationship that works for the good of the Lord, then great. It is easy for that woman to submit to her husband, right? He doesn't have to, as a man, to show your manhood, you don't have to rule in violence.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to rule, you don't
by
have
force,
to be over, by force and being over authoritative and suppressing your family in order for you now to be. But if you were a good, kind-hearted, even tempered man, it's easy for you to run your family
led,
in a healthy manner.
Therefore, we shouldn't feel insecure and small when the women and the children in our lives step into their own.
Yes.
And they grow and they start fulfilling purpose and ministry themselves.
Yes, and another reason is I grew up seeing this and I loved it.
Mm.
There was this couple, Emsebenzin, Umama was the boss.
Okay.
Miles ahead.
And the guy worked for her?
They worked together in the same organization. And she was making more money than him. She was a proper hun. You know, she was a proper hardworking corporate hun. She was the mother, she was the this, she was that. And her husband was, I think, even two levels
lower
below her. Right? But when she left work, and when she went home, Do you understand?
Mm.
She would never make work-related decisions that influenced her family negatively just because she was the boss.
Yeah, which is good.
She would consult with her husband.
Yeah, that's good.
Do you understand? She would consult with her husband. And because that was a that was a Christian marriage, she understood where she stood as a wife in a Christian home.
Mm.
She understood her position, you know, as a Christian wife led by a Christian man. At work, she was boss.
Yeah.
Do you understand? But at home,
she was a wife.
Where this now, this conversation is about. We're not talking corporate. We're not talking in the social spaces. We're talking about the church.
Yeah.
She was a wife at home who submitted to her husband.
Right.
Right?
Which is how it's supposed to be.
Which is how, because he was, as much as, you know, people would say he was a beta male and she's an alpha woman, as much as they would say this, but the way he made her feel as a woman, allowing her to express her womanhood, supporting her. Do you understand? As a husband, should she thrived, right? And she didn't throw it in his face, oh, you're a weak man, and this, I work with men who make more money than you. And, which was, the money was nice, but the fact is, the money is not going to cuddle her at the end of the day. The money is not going to help her raise the children and love her at the end of the day the way she needs to be loved. So my thing is, I am not taking away from strong women.
Yeah.
I am not. I am not taking away from strong women. Be strong. But also, can our partners, can the men also step rise up to the
their position?
You know, this is now a request to the men. Oguti, for you to not feel threatened, could you just rise up to the plate and be the man that she needs you to be? Right?
And as women, allow the men to lead.
To lead, exactly.
You don't have to be in position number one to be a leader. Leadership is not position, it's influence. And so through your hard work, through your strength as a woman, your influence over him, you can take things to a particular direction.
You can take things forward.
Yeah, but that's us on the topic. More questions?
More questions.
I think you are closer to an answer than me, but I'm like, we got to talk about this more. So please have your own study on this. Tell us what you think. Comment right there. We'll run a poll on Spotify. Go and participate in and tell us, is it a yes or a no from you about women pastors?
Pastors,
we understand preaching. We understand deacons and elders.
Yes, it's the pastor. Leading. Leading
senior
the church.
Senior pastoring.
Yes. Uvule isonto. Qala kube isonto lami.
Tom fundiswa la ekhaya. Umama usibamba.
How do you guys feel about that? Yeah. And mama, who are leading
tell
their
us.
Own churches, tell us.
Talk
please,
to us.
Talk to us. Let us know. Educate me. Maybe... No, I am willing. Yes, I am. I am always willing to hear umuntu
to
out.
Learn,
to learn. I am. Please teach me. DM me. You know,
say
tag me
wrong.
On. Like, guys, if your comments after the
definitely
show, I enjoy
welcome.
Reading the comments. You know, after every episode.
Yes.
So please, guys, educate me. Am I reading this wrong? Am I too bureaucratic when it comes to this? Teach me. You know, I am here to learn.
The conversation has started, and that's what we are here for.
We're here for that.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. Don't forget to subscribe.
Yeah.
Subscribe and share the content to others who will benefit from this.
Thank
we love you
guys.
So much. God
love
bless you.
Bye-bye.